This is Drive Live
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
6:20, it is Drive Live. Let's talk to Simon Marks in Washington. Simon, it's been far too long. We have, I must admit to you, missed you.
Oh, and I've missed you as well, Tim. It's good to be back. I've been hopscotching the world over the last couple of weeks. Spent a week in South Africa and then a few days in Havana before then taking a little holiday in London. But now I'm firmly back in Washington, D.C.
You have been, have you not? I know you're something of a... And I mean this with the greatest of respect, Simon. You are something many of the people in your office, your colleagues, would report as a radio geek. You've been on Radio Caroline, have you not?
I have indeed. How did you know that?
Oh, because
you saw
tabs
it on Twitter. That's how you knew it. Yes, I did. It was the highlight, actually, of my, one of the highlights, I should say, of my trip to the UK. Very exciting. We took a boat, myself and the family, out to the ship from which Radio Caroline broadcasts. Once a month, radio geeks like myself will be aware that Radio Caroline is a formerly pirate radio station that broadcast from the high seas for many years. It now broadcasts from land legally in the UK, but they do get the ship cranked up one weekend every month, and I took a trip out there. It was absolutely fantastic. Great fun. Swashbuckling, in fact, because we almost couldn't get on board the ship because the waters were so rough as we got out there, but we eventually got on board, and maybe a little bit later on I'll post some more pictures on Twitter so people can take a look.
Did it live up to the expectations? Because there is a romantic notion for anybody who's seen the movie The Ship That Rocked, of course that movie is based. Radio Caroline meant so much to so many people.
Yes, no. I mean, and the amazing thing about, I mean, a couple of things that struck me. First of all, it's an extraordinarily large and very solid vessel. I mean, once you get on this thing, you don't feel it move at all. You've actually got no idea, at least in the river where it's currently anchored, that you're on this ship that at times was buffeted quite a lot in the stormy weather of the North Sea. But also, I mean, the other aspect of it is the extraordinary commitment of the entire volunteer team that keeps this radio station on the air. There were half a dozen DJs living on the ship for the weekend when we visited. Fantastic guys who are absolutely committed to keeping the spirit of the station, as it was demonstrated in that film, alive. And we had a blast. The kids loved it. My wife tolerates my radio nerdiness, and she had a very good time as well. So it was hugely recommended. If anybody wants to follow in our footsteps, I highly recommend the trip.
Back to the grindstone now, Simon. Rohit says, can we get on with the news, please, by text? I tell you what, this text line thing is far too direct.
You don't want to hear more about my holiday. I can't understand it.
Mad, isn't it? Train explosion, unfortunately, in St. Petersburg, Simon. Mm. What's the latest?
Yes, this is in St. Petersburg, Russia, just to be clear, not St. Petersburg on this side of the Atlantic. But according to the Russian authorities, at least 10 people were killed when an explosion ripped through an underground train carriage in St. Petersburg. There are some reports that as many as 50 people have been injured. President Vladimir Putin, who was in St. Petersburg himself at the time of the explosion, unclear whether there might be any kind of link between those two events. He's launching a full investigation. He says it's too early to know whether this was an act of terrorism or not, but certainly there have been acts of terrorism on trains in Russia and at underground stations in Moscow in the past. So an investigation getting underway there. And remember also that all of this is taking place just a few days after some pretty well-attended protests against President Putin's rule took place in a number of Russian cities. We haven't seen protests as well attended as they were for many, many months in Russia. And so there's all sorts, I think, of interest in precisely what may have occurred at that underground station in St. Petersburg. And obviously, tragic elements to that, given the death toll, which at the moment stands at 10.
And we will be keeping you updated on that story here at the ARN News Centre as well. Thanks for that, Simon. So moving back to the US, visits by two foreign leaders dominating the headlines over there. Egypt's President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi in Washington today. What's on the agenda there, Simon?
Yes, well, the red carpet being rolled out at the White House for President al-Sisi, and the warmth of the welcome that he's going to get from Donald Trump, and that was really previewed by the fact that the two of them started talking to one another even when Donald Trump was a candidate for the presidency of the United States, is in stark contrast to the chill that existed between President Trump's predecessor, Barack Obama, and President al-Sisi. I mean, almost more interesting than what's on the agenda is what isn't on the agenda. It's very clear that the Trump administration is going to talk a lot less about the human rights situation in Egypt than Barack Obama talked about and indeed penalized President al-Sisi for, with a series of sanctions that were designed to hit back at the Egyptian authorities following the ouster of President Morsi. This is an entirely new relationship, and it's one that Donald Trump is building based on, from his perspective, from his mindset, geopolitical pragmatism. He believes that President al-Sisi has been successful in reducing incidents of extremism and violence within Egypt, and he's now ready to reward President al-Sisi for that. So we're going to see over the next few hours how all that plays out with this visit to the White House, but certainly this is a very big moment for the Egyptian leader and an opportunity for him to symbolize that the relationship between Cairo and Washington, D.C. is now much warmer than it was before Donald Trump assumed the presidency.
Simon, can we jump forward a few days? President Xi Jinping of China is going to be meeting President Trump. This is going to be on Thursday. And the backdrop to this that I think is interesting is the US leader threatening to take unilateral action on Twitter, certainly, if necessary, to confront North Korea.
Yeah, very, very interesting. This meeting's going to be taking place not in Washington, D.C., but down in Mar-a-Lago at the President's Resort in West Palm Beach, where he likes to entertain foreign guests. He took the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe down there a few weeks ago. And the relationship between Donald Trump and the Chinese is very much a work in progress. Donald Trump was witheringly critical of China and its approach to the United States, particularly economically, when he was running for the presidency. He often used quite violent and colorful language to describe his views on what China was doing to the United States. The Chinese are very, very wary of Donald Trump, keen to understand exactly what his plans are for U.S.-China policy. They're worried about just how committed he is to what's known as the One China policy. That's the policy by which the U.S. government only recognizes the government in Beijing. It does not recognize the government in Taipei, in Taiwan. And Donald Trump wants to extract from China more leverage against North Korea. North Korea's only ally, really, in the region is China. And Donald Trump believes that the Chinese could be doing a lot more to try and steer North Korea away from its nuclear path. And in that interview over the weekend, with a good deal of bluster and bravado, I think it's fair to say, he suggested that if the Chinese wouldn't help him out, well, he might have no alternative whatsoever but to take North Korea on himself. Look, this is a man the Chinese know was unable even to get his health care plan passed by his fellow Republicans in the United States Senate. So the idea that he is single-handedly going to take on North Korea, I don't think will be causing too many sleepless nights in Beijing. However, it is a very clear indication from President Trump, albeit a relatively blunt one, that he really wants to focus that conversation with Xi Jinping on Thursday and Friday in Mar-a-Lago on trying to resolve the North Korean issue.
Are we going to see another awkward non-handshake there, do you think, Simon?
There is, Claire, there is no handshake now that is not poured over.
I know.
And immediately turned into an internet meme. At this point, it almost doesn't matter how he shakes hands. It immediately becomes an internet meme, and I think it will be very interesting, as ever, to watch not just the handshake, but the body language in general. Remember that body language that was exhibited by Donald Trump when Angela Merkel visited Washington just a couple of weeks ago. Let's see how he gets on with Xi Jinping.
Let's hope he doesn't try to hold his hand like he did with Theresa May.
With Theresa May, absolutely.
I kind of think that'd be great for international relations, to be honest with
you. I can't see it happening, though.
You decry too much.
Could be a new symbol, couldn't it? Absolutely.
In Washington, good to have you back on. Appreciate it, Simon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.